Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
So you guys, earlier we're going to change it up a little bit this morning. We're focusing in a little bit on groups. Last two Sundays, we've had Group Sunday where we've invited you to go and kind of look on the tables and see some groups that we have going on, and you guys being able to sign up for those groups. We try to communicate this as often as we can. This is a deep heart of Community Fellowship, is that you are involved in a group. We believe that that is the deepest place that you are going to grow. If you want to follow Jesus, Christ-likeness is formed in groups. It's great to come on a Sunday morning. We want you here. We want to be able to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. We want to be able to celebrate what Jesus is doing in your life. But it doesn't give us time to be able to have good conversations. But groups does. Groups does. All the groups that we have, whether it's men's, women's, whether it's our dinner eight groups, all of those groups invite you to have relationship with other people so that you can be changed in the midst of that. And so this morning, we're going to take just a few minutes to kind of stop. And I want you to see from a couple of people how groups has been important in their life. And so I'm going to welcome and introduce Julie and Nolan Kovar to come up this morning. They're going to have a little conversation with me this morning. You can welcome them. You can clap for them. But Julie, Nolan, let's do this. Let's start out, first of all, maybe if people don't know you, kind of introduce yourself, share a little bit about family, all that kind of stuff.
I'm Julie. This is Nolan. We've been married almost 11 years. It'll be 11 years this month. And we have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. And we have been coming here for 2 years? Yes. Yeah. They're almost 2 years, yes. So, and we've been members for about 2 years. So.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. Anything else to add?
I mean, for some of y'all, y'all probably know me because I actually grew up here. So I was actually a member of the Catholic Church for my entire time. And so, yeah, that's what she said, and then that.
Yeah, so you might be familiar with the Kovar name, right? Yes. That's the thing. Okay, so you guys, the reason I really invited you guys is because y'all have been a part of every single one of the groups that we have done. Right? At some point, you've either been a part of men's, Nolan, yes. Women's, really not the other way around, right? We don't make sure there's any confusion there. Julie, you've been part of women's. Then you guys actually are part of our couples one that Emily and I did last semester, so you've been part of that. And you guys have been part of dinner eight groups.
Yes.
So it seems like this is a pretty important thing for you guys to be involved in a group. Why do y'all make it such a priority to be in groups?
I think both of us were raised around church. I grew up in Southern Baptist churches. Nolan grew up in the Catholic Church here. Church has always been a priority. We were raised, you go to church, I went to church Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, and I know Nolan
CCD.
Probably did very similar. And I think for a long time I took it for granted. Went through college, I had a lot of knowledge, but didn't really have, I don't know, the yearning to learn more. I spent a lot of time probably living for myself really more than anything, and just kind of, God was a convenient friend. You know, I still was in prayer, but it wasn't a leading factor in my life. Not long after we got married, we experienced a really challenging health situation, and it really kind of transformed things for us. I wish I could go back and say, oh, our relationship was founded on deep prayer and a foundation of Christ. And that was there, but it was just, again, like I said, it was just kind of a convenience thing for me. And whenever we went through this, we realized we need to learn more. We wanted to grow more.
Yes.
We knew that God saved us. We knew that God saved our lives, literally, and that we needed we were starting to yearn for more. So we were in a church in Richmond, and they were big on small groups. So we started a small group there, and that just really changed a lot for us. We had gone on Sundays to this church, but really once we got in that small group, that's when we were encouraged, and we made friendships, and we were like these friends that we had known for a year. And I felt like I remember telling Nolan as we were driving there one night, I remember telling him, man, I feel like I know these people more intimately than I've known some of my friends that I've had for years. And it's just that different level of friendships that we've gained. And then groups is actually how I got started here in this church. I went to the Tuesday morning Bible study, the women's Bible study, and that got us going here. Mm-hmm. And it's really just kind of transformed everything we've done. It was just a little piece, and we just started yearning for more and more. And they say once you get that first bit, you just want more and you hunger for more, and that's what led us to more involvement.
So Julie, you said something in there that I caught, and I want to kind of ask the question to flesh it out. Mm-hmm. So you said that group, whenever you're in Richmond, that church, they're big on groups, and you guys became a part of it, and you said I knew those people more intimately than I knew some of my own friends. Would you say that they also probably knew you more intimately?
Oh, yes. I was way more open about my thoughts and beliefs, and yes. Yeah.
So was that scary in the beginning?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, you don't want to go and spill your guts and your heart out to these people, but it was almost therapeutic in a way, without being a true therapy session.
Like, the reason I ask this is because, like, there's so many people that they are very introverted, right? We probably have a lot of introverts in our church. Okay, yeah. I wasn't going to say it, Nolan. I wasn't going to say it. But at the same time, you make it a priority, Nolan. Like, yeah. You're a part of those groups, too. So, like, the challenge for you as an introvert, right, to be a part of a group, to be really to let people know you. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, that's something I'm still kind of developing and growing because, I mean, clearly, but for me, it is expressing emotions and doing all that fun, you know, extroverted stuff is not my strong suit, but I don't know, this morning when we were kind of thinking about groups and something just hit me that it pretty much was, hey, you know what, I'm getting something from the lessons or whatever I'm reading, and God talks to you, and then if you don't say that, you're missing out on that discipleship for somebody in your group.
That's good.
And so as an introvert, if you're sitting there going, oh, yeah, this is really speaking to me, and then you go into your group or you go into your life, and you're just kind of sitting there just wandering through, and you're not expressing what he's telling you to tell somebody, it's like, kind of missing it.
Man, that's powerful. Nolan, what you're saying is extremely important. I want to make sure that we stop right here and make sure people understand what you're saying, okay? Because, listen, I love getting up and I love teaching you guys. I really do. So, like, it's one of my favorite things. I think the Lord has gifted me in that way. But the problem is that it's not just about me. And I say this all the time, right? We are the community. We are the church. And what Nolan's saying is he's saying, hey, the Lord's speaking to me. And I'm going to say it this way. You didn't say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. You're robbing other people if you do not share what God is doing in your life, what God is teaching you in your life. That's meant to be shared. It's meant to be shared. And so it's super important that as you're in that community, when you do feel the Lord speaking to you, like no one's saying, that's hard, especially as an extrovert, to want to relate that to somebody else, but you are robbing them. It may be something that God wants to teach that individual. And if you don't share that with them, then you're robbing them of God speaking into their life as well. So I just want to make sure I pause and say that, because that's an extremely important part you just said.
And that's, I mean, and I've been, we had some in our life when, because there's challenges with groups, and with our two little ones, they're crazy. but so kind of timing of everything, and with bedtimes and different things and waking up and getting them to where they're supposed to be, driving to work and all that stuff, and finding that time, I don't know, thinking about that today has really made me realize that I need to get back into my own small group again, because I've been gone for this last teaching, and I'm like, no, I need that again.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's it's something you have to work on for sure.
Well, and you bring up another good point, right? Because you said sometimes it's difficult to create that time, right? It's because of life, family, kids, all that kind of stuff. But you guys still place such a high priority on that. So, like, give us kind of how you guys work that out. How do y'all, is it like somebody gets to go this time and not, you know, like, how do y'all do that?
A lot of prayer and a lot of really just trying to make it happen. It's, like you said, priority is the biggest thing because we both, like, I drive into Memorial City 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. He drives downtown 3 days a week. And it's hard, especially if you're thinking, oh, I've got to be part of a dinner group. I've got to make something. I've got to, you know, think of something for the kids. At first, we tried to make the kids not a factor in terms of dinner eight. We tried to get his mom to help out and, hey, can you watch the kids? And we did that a few times. And then one time she wasn't able to. And, it was Sean and Scott Carr were the hosts that week. And we said, hey, we're not going to be able to make it. Kathy can't watch the kids. And they said, bring them. And they haven't missed one since. Yep. So I think really having the community involved in being an example to your kids has, I think that's also a big factor in why we make it such a priority, because it's not about us. It's not just about us. It's being that example to our kids and showing them, because that's the examples we had. Yep. I mean, our parents dragged us to church. That song just speaks to so many of us, because that's, you feel like, oh, I'm being, I remember thinking, oh, school's out for summer. We don't have to go to church anymore because it's summer. And my mom was like, no, you still have to go to church. So just getting that as a habit and having that as a habit, even though we maybe weren't always drawn and yearning for more, it really led us back even whenever we wandered astray. Sure. So it's not easy to make it work, but we have prioritized and reshuffled our lives, and we take on one, like, I'll take on the kids that night that Nolan needs to go to, and I told him, hey, you need to go. We need to prioritize it. So
I love that. One of the things that you said in there, that as you get, like, you're talking about the song and talking about your own life and my experience as well, like, we were there every time the doors were open almost, mm-hmm. you know, such an important thing. And one of the things that in student ministry and in kids ministry that we would talk a lot about with parents is we would say, it's not just for you that you need to be a part of small groups, but it's also for your children, like you just said. And the reason that we said that is because they need other people besides just their parents. Their parents are absolutely crucial. Most important part, let me say that very clearly, most important faith connection you can have is as a parent with a child. Absolutely. That's what statistics are saying. But also for them to have other voices in their life that speak the name of Jesus. And what you just said is incredible. I love that. I mean, the fact that you're talking about the cars, right? And they were like, bring them.
Yes.
And I'm sure it was messy, right? Kids were probably loud, running around, you know?
That's our kids, yeah. Yes.
And I'm sure at the same time, though, you're so grateful that they said come.
So grateful. And at Scott's funeral, there was a picture of him holding Connor that night up on the slideshow for everybody to see. So it's just another reminder, you know, that's why we're doing that, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, that's what the family looks like, right? The family of mm-hmm. faith looks like. Okay, so one of the things I was going to ask you, this is a big one, because this is probably one you probably had to think pretty hard about. Like, what is something that you learned about yourself as you've been in community with other people?
I kind of talked about mine already. And it's that, for myself, that I do need to speak up more and say what God is telling me to say. Because that's not something that I like. And that sounds awful. It's not something that I'm really comfortable with doing. But just being in a small group, when you hear other people doing it also, it becomes easier to, he's sharing this about his life. Well, I can share that about mine too. I mean, what's so great about, or why am I holding on to this when other people are doing the same thing? And so that's kind of where I'm still growing, because and I think that's also like part of the small group is that I realize that everybody is on their on a different stage within their faith walk, and I'm learning from those people, and hopefully they're learning from me as well. I am not as, I don't want to say, I mean, I know as a Catholic, when you went to the, when you went to church, we read from the Bible through our Missalette, but the Bible was never really outside of that. Mm. And so when you're reading it now, it's almost looking at it through like a new lens, a new set of eyes, and hopefully something that he tells me to share, that's just a different way of kind of looking at it as well. So.
Before I let Julia enter, I want to say this, because again, they were part of our group last fall, and one of the days we were talking about, I think we were just talking about prayer as a couple, right? And Nolan said something that challenged me, all right? Nolan challenged the pastor, all right? Which is, that's okay, I'm just a man, all right? Just so people understand that. But it was so good, right? And I'm just going to share what you said to show that we can do that. All of us have that part. And sometimes we devalue ourselves or we underplay ourselves, right? And that what God's saying to us or what God even would let us share and how it can challenge us. So what you talked about is you talked about how you had started kind of the habit of just, I think it was in the mornings you said, that he's giving the no. But he had started this habit of just asking Julie, hey, what's something today that's going on for you that I can pray for, right? And I'll just say this, the next day that I did that, all right? I did that the next day. Now, it was a 30-minute conversation with Emily, all right? But it was good, right? It was good because I knew what was going on in her day, and I knew that during that day, I was going to keep that in my thoughts and in my prayers, right? Because of what she had shared with me. And so it was still a really good principle that I thought, I mean, this is so good. Why don't I do this? Why do I not incorporate this into my life? So I want to make sure I said that because also to encourage you that you continue to share, right? Because it was so powerful in our life, and I appreciate that. Okay, Julie, I'm going to let you answer. What's something that you've learned about yourself?
Probably two main things. One of them is that everybody has insecurities, especially when it comes to like dinner aid. I'm inviting people into my home. I'm cooking for them. That's a lot of pressure, especially whenever like I've been to other people's homes before they came to mine, and my home's not as big. My home's not as clean. I've got kids. There's toys everywhere. I had a lot of insecurities, and I got stressed. And whenever they were there, all of that just goes away. You realize it doesn't matter. You don't have to have this exquisite meal that's just the most amazing food they've ever tasted. However, I have had some of those at some of your homes. You didn't have it at mine, most likely, but it doesn't matter. That's not the reason you're getting together. You're not getting together to show off perfection. Yeah. You're not perfect. Nobody is. Everybody is going to have insecurities about opening up and being vulnerable in any way, in terms of sharing what you're thinking and being opening up. And that's not something I have as hard of a time to do. I don't mind talking, but sometimes getting really deep is something I struggle with. So insecurities is one. And then the other thing I learned is there is always an excuse. Mm. If you are looking for an excuse, there is always a reason to not go and to find a way out of it. The devil will give you a reason. Like every Sunday, just about every Sunday, getting here is the hardest morning. We get up and go to get the kids to preschool every day. No problems. They don't push back. It's a process. But Sunday mornings, for whatever reason, is always a challenge. So there's an excuse if you're looking for one.
That's good.
I will add, though, Our dinner eight group is probably like looking at us like, come on, guys, because our son likes to throw curveballs at us. And our most recent one, when he decided to jump on into the wall or into his bed.
Oh yeah.
And so he was, I mean, and stuff, what I'm getting at is stuff like that will happen. And your group members care more about what's going on there than they do about you actually being there. So if you miss a group or if you miss something, and you can't make it to every single one, it's going to be okay also. Because we just want to express how important it is to be involved in that group, to have other people growing with you.
That's good.
Yes, I remember when that happened, our son was jumping on the bed, and we thought we might have to go to the emergency room. And this happened, we were supposed to be there, I think we were leaving in 10 minutes, and I had brownies in the oven, and we were going to the Gertsen's house. And I was so stressed because I'm like, I had these brownies ready to go, but what if we need to go? We were trying to figure that out, and God provided. Somebody else in that group brought a dessert, and that wasn't even the plan, but somebody else provided a dessert, and Patsy texted me and said, hey, don't stress about it. Keep the brownies. Somebody else brought some dessert. So God always provides, even if there is a legitimate reason that you can't make it, the provision will be there.
That's good. You said something too, Julie, that I want to make sure that we kind of stop and reemphasize again too. Every single one of us is broken. Every single one of us. So if you're wanting to go somewhere because you think there's somebody perfect that you're going to be able to hear from, and they're going to drop these incredible truth bombs that just change your whole perspective on life, well, that might happen, all right? But for the most part, we're all broken. And that's the whole idea, is that we come together and we share in our brokenness, and we know that we have the one, we know the one who makes us whole. And so I think that's important for us to make sure that we talk about, is that, hey, if you're like, man, I can't have them over my house because it's all crazy messy in here. Nobody has the perfect house always swept up all the time. All right, we're going to go home this afternoon. We have girls coming to our house, and we're going to mop the floors, and we're going to clean it. It looks nasty right now. The dogs have been in there. There's mud all over the place, but we're going to clean it so that it can be ready, but that doesn't mean we're perfect. I think that's an important piece that you said that we need to understand. Okay, so one last question. One last question, all right? If someone is in here, and they're still like, I don't know about groups. I don't know about this thing. You're saying stuff that's making me uncomfortable when you're talking about sharing emotions or having to open up my house or, you know, go to other people's house or whatever. Like, what would you say to encourage them to be a part of groups?
I think the biggest reason is look past the excuses. Just go. You don't have to open up the first time. You're just there to listen and observe. You don't have to jump in. You can. You can jump in, cannonball in, but you don't have to. You can take one foot in at a time if you want. That's probably my biggest piece of advice. I started at the Tuesday morning women's Bible study. I didn't know anybody. We had just moved here, hadn't even started coming to church here. And I sat in the corner and was really quiet for the first couple times. I don't mind talking, but I was really quiet those first couple of sessions because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know if I could open up or how to open up, but now I walked in after missing last semester, and it was a big warm welcome back. So they've become like family.
That's good.
Yeah. Nolan? I think that's just the big thing, is just to try it out. We have a lot of different groups, and a lot of different men's groups, and I think a few different female or women's groups also.
Yeah.
So if one doesn't work for you, just go to the other one. Or if that one doesn't work for you, start your own. Because somebody here also has the same story as you. Mm-hmm. And or they're in the same kind of setting and group as you, or time in their life. And so even someone like me can have fun at groups and go to groups. So if I can, y'all can too.
That's good. That's good. Hey, will you guys thank them for coming up here? Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all so much. So one of the things that is important for us to understand about community is how often the scripture speaks of community. If we look at the New Testament, you cannot go a few chapters without a one another being spoken of. And we're not talking pastor to church, we're talking about church to church, right? Paul addresses it over and over again. Do this towards one another. Do this towards one another. Love one another, right? Encourage one another. Speak compassionately to one another. All of these one another's that we see. And that happens the best in groups because, like Julie said, you become family. You become family. So you know when somebody's hurting that, hey, I'm going to go take them some food, right? And again, listen, guys, what I brag on the most whenever I'm with my family, you know, my bigger family, sorry, not just my personal family, but my bigger family, is I brag on how you guys are the church. It's what I love watching in this community, how you take care of one another, that you're there for one another. That, again, see, I can't even say it without using that language. We're there for one another. We are the one another's. And so in groups is the best place that is going to happen. So I encourage you If you are not, if you've been a little bit nervous, you hopefully this morning kind of took away some of those nerves, and that you can say, okay, I'm going to commit to that this semester. And so those groups, some of them have started, but I guarantee you they're still open and welcome for you. Miss Marilyn says. That's good. Yeah, that's good. That Sherry's over there. Yeah, that's me. It doesn't have to be a couple, right? If you're single, if your spouse doesn't want to come, that's all right. You make it a priority. You never know. They may change their heart and they may come later, all right? But really, really commit to that. Groups is such an important part of who we are as a community and who we are as a church. Ms. Deborah. Good. And if you have more questions, you can go talk to Deborah. She'd be more than willing to answer those questions for you. All right? Okay, well, let me do this. Let me pray for us, and then we'll close our time together in worship. Father, this morning, I just pray that this was an encouragement to the body here. Father, that we're reminded of how important it is to be in community, where we're known and where we know others, so that we can do this life together. Father, I pray that if there's anybody in here this morning that was a little bit nervous and a little bit scared of being a part of a group, God, that they would feel encouraged today, they'd feel emboldened to take that step and to be part of a group so that they could be known. Father, I thank you so much for your love and how your love moved towards us. And then as a response, God, we move towards other people. God, help us to be that in this church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.